Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. I know we're making a habit of these now. It's really good. We're in full flow. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined by Peter Raven and Paddy Davitt to discuss Norwich City's 1-1 draw with Stoke, which can either be termed as a good point and a good performance, a happy performance, or a little bit frustrating. So, Pete, Pad, who wants to go first, and which side of the fence are you going to sit on?
Shall I go?
Go for it.
I think first 25 minutes, I'd have taken that as a point gained, but the rest of the game, two dropped for me. And how vital they'll be at the end of the season, who knows? They controlled the game early on, didn't they? I think, oh, we could be in for a bit of a hide in here. Just passing the ball freely and we weren't getting a look in, but as soon as we got back into the game, it was one-way traffic, wasn't it? Very encouraging.
Yeah, the Stoke were good, weren't they? They did have a lot of the ball in the first 15 minutes, I suppose. Probably deserved their opener. And you did kind of fear for Norwich having to chase the game a bit like they did against Palace, but you felt the quicker they got a goal back, the better it would be for everyone concerned.
Yeah. No, I mean, wouldn't disagree with anything Pete said there in terms of that analysis, which is why, to take your point, Michael, that Russell Martin's goal was vital, because I did fear if it got to half-time, then inevitably there'd have been a few grumbles and they'd have had to commit even more men forward, and given the way Stoke was set up, they probably would have got picked off and then we might have been in Crystal Palace territory again. So just in the general context of the game, really, that was vital. I felt that they got on terms as quick as they did, and as Pete said, from that point onwards, it was the Jack Butland show, really.
Yeah, it feels like, I suppose you could take that compared to the Palace game, Norwich have maybe learnt a couple of lessons since then. Is it just me, or aren't Norwich pretty good at keeping the ball? They seem to be pretty good in terms of possession, even though I think Stoke did have a lot more of it on Saturday. But also, they're creating a lot of chances, aren't they? I know we'll get stuck into whether they take them or not in a bit, but they are creating, and they're looking potent sort of until the final third.
Well, this is the thing for me, and I'm sure we've said it as well. Everyone says you don't get that many chances in the Premier League, but I was there six or seven that should have been. And that's probably, I guess, a clinical top flight striker was the difference Saturday for us. So it's weird how you had Cameron Jerome with his one-on-one and Wes with his header. If those two were flipped round, that would have been two goals quite easily. But it was, I don't know if more of it comes from sort of our sort of fullbacks, and rather than, I know, like, you've got Tetti sort of seems to control everything in the middle, and Dorans has been excellent since he's been here, but especially for me and Brady on Saturday, just getting down that left side all the time, that's where it's going to come from. It's still that attacking force, but you thought it would be sort of nullified a bit in the top flight, but it still seems to have just carried on from where we were last season.
Who were man of the matches in the end?
Whoever you want. It's your call, mate.
Who you chose?
Brady, closely followed by Dorans, I think.
Who did you say, Pat?
I said Russell Martin.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Michael?
I would have said Brady, probably. Yeah, just because I suppose in a situation where he has a bit more freedom to do more attacking. Whereas defensively, he still pulled off some, you know, the bit where he chased down, you have to remember, who was it he chased down? Was it Shaqiri? He chased down someone on the break late on in the first half. It's like, oh God, it was the first half.
He's a stocky lad, isn't he?
We talked about it on Three Up Front before. He has the height of Wes Houlihan and the build of Tom Youngs. And actually, I was kind of, you know, appreciative that's exactly how he looked like in person. Of course, I couldn't work out why he ended up. He had a short sleeved shirt in the first half, and then he came out for the second half in a long sleeved shirt, as if he wasn't hot enough. Maybe we'll talk about drinks breaks in a minute. But so the chances, Pete mentioned it there, Pad, is the one piece missing from the jigsaw puzzle that striker?
One of. It'd help if they could defend set pieces as well, if we want to be too demanding, but ultimately that's what's killing them, not being able to switch on individual responsibility. We'll probably come on to that as well, on set pieces. And yeah, obviously you've catalogued them there, the amount of chances, but as I sort of pointed out in print today, you can't berate Jerome alone, because there was four or five other lads who all missed chances. Yes, okay, the strikers are there to score ostensibly, but ultimately, you know, you need to be more clinical as a team, I think.
Yeah, of the chances, Jerome's and Houlihan's were both pretty much made a mess of. Doran's couple of shots were decent efforts and probably good saves, but I would guess the save from Redmond and also the save from Jerome in the air with the pick of the punch.
That's good. That one's straight out and Redmond, but still sort of reflex to get it away. It's just, and with a broken finger as well, apparently.
Yeah, that just about summed it up, didn't it? Pat and Mark Hughes revealed that.
Yeah, nice of him to tell us that.
You can see what Jerome was doing, wasn't it? Sort of outside of the boot, but just kind of got it a bit wrong, really, didn't he?
He didn't hit it with the outside of his boot. I think that was the problem. He tried to and didn't quite do it.
Wes just can't head a football.
Oh, yeah, you say that?
Head. Yeah, scored a cover's head, but that was just not even a glance, was it?
He's better at diving headers, maybe, than flicks. So in terms of strikers, it's a bit of a bizarre situation. Clearly Norwich won a striker. They've still got a number 9 shirt free. They've been linked with Glenn Murray bid today. Obviously the Benicophobia stuff and Charlie Austin and all sorts of... John Walters. Pete, your reaction to John Walters in a couple of words?
I wonder if Alex Neil, as his mind was made up early on in the first half, was the chant from the Barkley. But I'd take him. In the same way that Alan Lee was not so much embraced but welcomed. It's just... He'd run all day for you, won't he? And I know $1.5 million's apparently rejected, but if you can get him for around that, then why not? Rumours of Gary Hooper going till Wednesday.
Well, this is it. There are more rumours about strikers going out than coming in, possibly, at the moment. Certainly, they're running it close. Lewis Grabban and Gary Hooper. Lewis Grabban, a couple of bids from Bournemouth, apparently. You asked Alec. Well, he was certainly asked about it today, wasn't he, Pat?
I asked him about Hooper, yeah, but on both counts, he said nothing doing. Reality is, you've got 4 or 5 strikers. If you throw Lafferty into the mix, so you bring an extra one in, then somebody will be going, minimum one going. Who's less important to Alec Neil? Hooper and Lafferty. So I think you would be seeing those two depart. I don't see Grabban departing. I know you thought that maybe just be a case that they wouldn't sell to a rival, which is what he said, and that's true, but I don't see him offloading Grabban at all. I just think, he's fell down slightly in the pecking order with Jerome in the last 2 games, but looking at it over the whole piece, since Alec Neil's come in, he's a big player for him, so no, I don't see Grabban leaving at all.
It would surprise me if he did, still. I just didn't think he shut it down as much. But, you know what it's like. You end up reading things into what people say.
Well, the reality is, he also went on to say, not per se about Grabban, but, and it's the old Ronaldo United Madrid. Every player has their price. It doesn't matter how we'll throw Nathan Redmond in at the minute. You know, if somebody came to him or to Norwich with an unbelievable bid for Nathan Redmond, how do you turn it down? You know, even in the land of milk and honey, it's just... Every player has got their value, and if Ronaldo's got his value, then so is Lewis Grabban, so is Gary Hooper. So it's really ultimately about whether these potential suitors put the money down, and at the minute that hasn't happened.
Without wishing to sound like someone who's obsessed, you didn't mention Ricky in your list of strikers in terms of where is it? Would
is
you?
He a striker?
Saturday, wouldn't he? He's just been brushed off the ball all game.
Allegedly, maybe, but would you say he's behind Lafferty and Hooper, or in terms of the pecking order, or just
he's in the same ballpark as them? For me, it's Jerome, Grabban, and then Hooper. So yeah, he's not even making benches, is he now? Premier League benches, so it's pretty clear where Alec Neil sees him, and that's probably not as part of his plans.
Anyone you want to see come in, Pete?
Well, names or just the positions?
Yeah. No, we're long gone positions.
Well, I'd love to see Charlie Austin come in, but Norwich aren't going to spend $15 million on anyone. And a centre back, because as well as Martin and Besson are playing, you lose one of those. It's that 11 is going to do well in the Premier League, but beyond that, you know there's going to be injuries, and in the case of Tete, a suspension at some point.
Yeah, we should say he's on 3 bookings out of 3 games, so he only needs 5 and he'll have a booking. They're suspension even.
Yeah, it's you just don't know what Norwich have got to spend, and if there's anything in this Glenn Murray, I guess it looks like he might be the one.
He might be. He's only 31.
There's been links of everyone there, haven't we? So let's just wait until they're through the door, really. But in the meantime, carry on going to the Pinkham website to find out the latest rumour.
Pa-ching! Well done. Michael Turner also linked with a loan move to Sheffield Wednesday.
Would you like to see him?
Well, I would like to see Virgil van Dijk, although I haven't seen much from play, but it seems like a very good player from what everyone talks about him. I do think Benicophobe would be well worth I would have him ahead of Charlie Austin because I think he's quicker, and I think you can do probably something slightly different with him compared to the other strikers Norwich have got. But then they are probably limited, or they haven't got that target man that I suppose Glenn Murray would be. How do you see this all shaping up, Pad? Because what are we? We're just over a week now away from the shutting, the slamming shut of the window.
I think there'll be a striker through the door. Well, correction, he called him a forward player today. I'm not quite sure what the difference is between a striker and a forward player. But ultimately, I think there will be one through the door between now and, when is it, a week Tuesday? Yeah. But I think there'll also be one or two going out the door as well. So, you know, for me, Austin, money-wise, it's not just not going to happen. They're clearly pitching for this 5, 6, 7, 8 million mark, so you're going to have to look at players in that bracket, I think.
Will be interesting, not necessarily related to Norwich, but whether QPR decides on the day of the deadline that, well, actually, maybe we'd take 12. and there you go, they see how they deal with that. I think we talked about Jack Butland's performance, I suppose, didn't we? I mean, it was a class part. You've got there two England hopefuls, haven't you, in terms of him and John Ruddy. Jack Butland did look the real deal.
I think, unfortunately for John, I think his time's passed now with England. I don't see him. He's not going to, because if you're building for the future, which supposedly England are doing, you're not going to take Ruddy over Butland now, are you, really? Fraser Foster's obviously going to be in the mix when he's back from injury, and Joe Hart is the undisputed number one. So, no, I think John's time might be over, I'm afraid, with England.
Poor old John. There were nice tributes to Sandy Cannon, must be said, over the course before kickoff. Which was lovely to hear, and very well deserved too. Norwich's defensive frailties themselves, you mentioned it, Pad. 3 set piece goals they've conceded in 3 games, and they're all, you know, rather comical. It wasn't too thinly veiled, the criticism of Alex Tetti picking up.
He was just pretty unmarked, wasn't he? At some point, you thought, is he onside? It's just there's so much space and time. But yeah, you can tell even by looking at the pictures that Tete's the one at fault there.
You see the ball put in, and then you can just see it all unfolding, and it's like deja vu, isn't it? It's just, oh, again. Cracking delivery from Jadon Chakiri, should we say?
Yeah, no, it was, yeah. There was a similar one with Brady at the death that Bradley Johnson thumped over when it looked easier to keep it under the bar. But, you know, ultimately, you get cut open by Man City passing it round you, and David Silva, majesty, and Yaya Toure's power, then you hold your hands up. But a ball into the box, they don't clear it, and it gets... I'm thinking of Sunderland, and then obviously Saturday, just gone, ball into the box, and the guys are literally unmarked, 5 yards, 6 yards out. Doesn't matter what level, you know, that's poor. But particularly in the Premier League, when you've got to work so hard to get anything at this level, it's almost a handicap system there. And ultimately Sunderland, it didn't matter because they were 3-0 up anyway, and it was late in the day, but clearly mattered on Saturday. And, you know, testament to the character to come back and the ability to come back, but why do you want to be putting yourself at a disadvantage at this level? It's ridiculous.
What are they going to do about it, Pete? Is it going to be something they sort it out? Have you got any ideas?
Well, you hope they sort it out in training. It's like Paddy said, it's so simple. It should be easy to eradicate.
We'll see.
Should be. A lot was made of Sherdan Shaqiri's debut, most of it by me, before the game. I was quite excited to see him play. To be honest, if he's only played 45 minutes of pre-season, he was pretty decent for some of that first half.
Yeah.
Oh, look at your face.
One good ball, what else did he do? Tell me what else he did productively apart from...
Most of the time on the floor, and Wes has got a better right foot than he has.
So Brady won that duel hands down.
Yeah. I wouldn't argue with that. I've had a few times where he cut inside, and there were moments where... Norwich defence were kind of swarming around him to try and keep him quiet. But I'm just making the point that I think in a few weeks' time, a few games under his belt, I think he might be quite influential.
I guess we caught him early, didn't we? So,
hurrah! Sure. Anyone looked at the Premier League table? Anyone want to pass comment on the early Premier League table? Norwich are 8th at the moment. Man City, 3 out of 3, top. I think Watford haven't won yet.
Have Sunderland? They haven't won it either, have they?
No, 7 teams without wins so far this year, should anyone be interested. Southampton are struggling. Should we talk about them? because Norwich go there next, of course, in the league. I know we've got a cup game in the middle, but we'll save that for a moment. Yeah, and Southampton have got a Europa League game before Sunday too.
And one where they basically need to play, if they're not going to go down the West Ham route and jack it in, then if they want to get to the group stages, they're going to have to play the top boys, because I mean it's 1-1 there going to Midtjylland, is it? So, you know, if they're serious about that competition, which they seem to be, then he's going to have to go with his frontline options, and that's not ideal, is it? Norwich, we assume a lot of the boys who play at Rotherham tomorrow won't be the lads who are on duty either against Stoke or will be at Southampton, so they're going to have a 4 weeks rest, and those lads have got to travel, albeit to Denmark's not that far, is it, but more so the nature of playing football game, and then come back and you think how much preparation time will they have for Norwich. So I've a bit like with Shaqiri, this could be a good time to catch him, I think.
Interesting one, Southampton, aren't they? I think Sadio Mane picked up a thigh injury, sort of like a dead leg, I think. So I think Ronald Koeman's confident he'll play Thursday, never mind Sunday. So we'll have to see. Victor Wanyama, he wants out, allegedly, reportedly, but they probably won't sell him. But some funny things coming out of Southampton at the moment.
Well, didn't they lose a lot in the summer? But then they did the re-season before and did well. So when the fixtures came out, I had that as Alex Neil's first away defeat. But the way the season started, I might change that to a draw.
Oh, early record. Prediction. It will be, won't it? It will be the record. What would it be, 13?
13.
Correct.
13 games unbeaten away from home. In the league?
Yes. Yeah. Rotherham doesn't count. Or will it?
Tomorrow.
No, I think it's the league, mate, yeah.
Right.
Although technically that would be... Well, yeah. I mean, you could throw in Wembley, really. It's not Carrow Road, is it?
Yeah.
So, it is 13 at the minute.
Oof.
But purely league, then yeah, 12 and counting.
Well, Norwich aren't going to lose at Rotherham, are they? Surely. Capital One Cup, second round tie at the New York Stadium, where we were there only, what, 4 months ago, something like that. Lewis Graben will be looking forward to it, I'm sure.
He stays on the pitch this time. Yeah, I think it's a safe bet he will play as well, irrespective of the whole Bournemouth thing. I think he would have been chomping at the bit anyway, so yeah. It'd be nice to see him score a few goals tomorrow night.
There was a lovely question you asked of Alec in the press conference about his cup record, because of course this is his first cup game as a Norwich manager. What did he answer again?
Not very good.
His record, not his answer.
Paraphrasing. No, his answer was good, yeah. He said basically he's good in every other aspect of his managerial career apart from cup games. So I've not checked the records, but clearly Hamilton weren't threatening to pick any silverware up, so... Then again, you in that regard, he's in good company with about 15 Norwich managers.
Or just the club in general, Pete.
Well, if you count playoffs as a knockout competition, he's done all right.
Yes, absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of cups, what would be your hopes for this season? Or maybe just for Tuesday, Pete?
Even just a semi-final. So
some
sort of cup run that isn't just two games and one of those a replay.
Yeah.
Quarters.
No, League Cup semi-final shouldn't be... I mean, the amount of chances we've had, I think it was it... Did we play Lambert's Villa and that was quarter-final?
That was a quarter-final.
Yeah, it's not... You don't play that many games to get to a quarter or a semi-final.
They played Bradford then in the semis and Sunderland were in the final.
Yeah, so...
Sunderland, Swansea, sorry.
Went Hull in it last season. So
they were in the competition, yeah.
Cardiff got to the final a few years ago.
Huge team to get there. It's if you get a fairly reasonable run, and if you put out a decent squad. If you ask any Norwich City fan, it's like obviously they take Premier League survival first, but second would be a cup run because there hasn't been one since. Well, when?
when they got to the quarters, probably.
So, yeah, quarter final, semi final, League Cup, and then FA Cup. I don't know.
This is the cup competition Norwich prefer compared to the FA Cup, so the history goes.
The FA Cup might be beyond this.
What sort of side do you think he'll put out, Pat? As I said, I like the fact that he seemed to intimate that he wouldn't just be making 11 changes and then stick them out there, but are you convinced?
No, not really. I think reality is, look at that bench on Saturday, all of those will play, I think. I don't think John Ruddy will play, so Declan will probably play. Who else do we have? Graben, maybe Hooper. No, I don't think we'll be seeing him, mate.
On the bench, maybe.
Maybe on the bench, yeah. Wisdom will play. Pretty certain about that. Bradley Johnson, I think, will get a game from the start. So, I think what he was getting at was, even if he does change up, it's still going to be recognisable first teamers. I don't think you're going to see Reece Hall Johnson, no disrespect, but that development level of player. But, you know, to me, there's echoes of Shrewsbury here, isn't there, last season, where that was, I think, Hubert and Lafferty started at Shrewsbury.
And Vadis, yeah.
Yeah, Elliot Bennett played from memory. So that was there's no way you would classify that as a weak team, but on the night they weren't good enough, deservedly were put out. So as I tried to say to him today, I think it's more about not so much which players, it's the attitude and the mindset. If that's right, then clearly Norwich 8th in the Premier League, Rotherham rock bottom of the Championship, then you're going through, you know, cup banana skins or not, there's no way they should be able to turn Norwich over tomorrow night.
I think it just helps as well if you can mix some of the guys who have been playing with some guys coming in, so that it's not a complete bunch of 11 strangers, because I think that was the issue with Shrewsbury. The team on the pitch was should have been strong enough to win, but they just didn't really seem like they were well versed in what they needed to do. And plus Lafferty missed a couple of very, very, very good chances, as he sometimes does, bless him, Kyle.
Yeah, especially that free kick.
Wigan, was it? What? No, which free kick? What?
Yeah, you think
the one where he slipped in it.
Viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One out of the ground. But I would like to see the likes of Thompson or Toffolo, do you think? Or?
Toffolo, I could see playing. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you could see back four of Wisdom, Toffolo, Ryan Bennett, and then maybe one of Bassong or Martin. But as you were saying earlier, that's a gamble. You know, the reality is, two games this week, what's the most important one? It's Southampton away. So do you risk an injury to your front line players? I don't think you do. That's the reality of it.
Open up the floor. Anything anyone else wants to bring up that I've forgotten, that's not on my list?
You didn't mention the drinks break, Michael.
Oh no.
Well, that shouldn't even be a talking point.
No, I don't really see the big fuss. I mean, a few people at Carrow booed, didn't they, the first drinks break, which I think is because they were losing.
But they might be the same sort of people that still point at planes in the sky. So it was a hot day, they needed a drink. It took what, a minute?
That was pretty much Alec Neil's viewpoint as well, I think. So no, it didn't mention drinks breaks, the weekend's big non-story. Cool. Alright then, we'll wrap it up. Me and Pad, we're both at Rotherham, back at the New York Stadium. How exciting. So there'll be all the usual stuff. We've got live coverage. Pete, you're going to set that up, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and video report, Pad's manager match report, and all the writing and analysis you could want on the website, pinken.com. Can people do the usual predictions things, or do we only do those for Premier League games?
They're just Premier League games. They can pick their team and they can rate the players afterwards. They might be a man of the match vote, or why not? There you go.
Good, so we haven't completely gone all fancy down.
No, it's a pink and light version.
Great. Cool, and then all the usual stuff during the week. We might do a podcast after Rotherham, maybe. We'll see if we can squeeze it in on the trip back.
Why not?
Okay, over our milkshake. Let's not promise it. We'll say we'll hope. Three up front, Mustard TV, all the usual stuff on Thursday. And then we'll be back to it for Southampton, which is a Sunday kickoff. Live on the telly, live on Sky.
It is, after Norwich 10.
Oh, yeah, which I'm not doing. No. I must tell them that I'm not doing that now, mustn't I? Because they don't know yet.
I don't know if you can get your money back or not now.
Probably not. I might try and defer it to do it next year. But no one cares about this anyway. But what time's kickoff? Half one?
I'm fairly sure it's half one.
Better check
that. Yeah, I better check that. I have got the programme here, so I'm going to assume it is half one. Because we want to sort of tell people.
Yeah.
The correct time
on this podcast with
for the times. Do they not put the times in anymore? As helpful as the Norwich programme is,
another page.
Oh, it's not. It always used to be the back page.
This is great podcast material.
1:30, just so everyone knows. So, in case you were worrying, or actually shouting at us what time kickoff was, 1:30. So, enjoy that on Sunday.
And there's a break.
It's national break. Wow, that came around quickly. We'll have a bumper podcast for that after that. Right, let's go. Thanks, gents. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you on the other side. Enjoy the week's games. Bye for now.